all things were created. Without Him, nothing that has been created was created. Okay, so we know that the Father, God, okay, was involved in the creation. We know that the Son was involved in the creation. And in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2, what does it tell us there about the Spirit? The Spirit of God, we saw last week, hovered above the face of the deep. So we have, and we saw in the creation, we have the Godhead involved in this. Okay? And the Spirit is in the Spirit's involvement is there as well. One of the things that that we're going to look at this morning as we continue looking at the involvement of the Spirit is understanding the nature of the Spirit itself. In particular, word we talked about last week, the word in the Hebrew language, ruah, which has a lot of different meanings, breath, air, strength, wind, breeze, spirit. But we looked at it in terms of, in that particular verse, where it talks about the Spirit of God was hovering. That indicates to us that the Spirit was there. It wasn't just wind that was blowing, which somebody said, wind doesn't hover, it blows, okay? And it's the idea and the picture you get is that the Spirit is there waiting in anticipation for the creation to begin, okay? For all things to begin to take place as the creation began. The same word is used in Deuteronomy 32:11 showing how God watches over His people like an eagle hovering in the sky watches over its fledgling. So that's the idea, that's the picture that we get from Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2. Now, I left you with some passages that I wanted you to look at. That was homework. How many of you did your homework? Okay, good. We got some hands up here. Good job. Okay. What was the homework? Psalm 33, 4 through 5. Let me get somebody to read that one for us. We're going to break this down a little bit. Who wants to read Psalm 33, verses 4 and 5 for us this morning as we start? Okay, Judy, go ahead.
For the word of the Lord is right, and all His work is done in truth. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord.
Okay, so the psalmist here speaks of God's word, right? God's word being right, true, and faithful, and it fills how much? Go back and look at it. It fills what? Everything, or the earth, right? In other words, it's not God's word doesn't just fill Israel, does it? It fills the earth. You see? And so, you know, we go back to some of the things that we were looking at and talking about in our previous study on getting to know Jesus through the Old Testament and the language and the ideas and the concepts there that God is the God of who and what? Everybody and everything, right? He's the God of creation. He's the God of the earth, of the world. And so He fills not just Israel, but He fills the earth with His love, doesn't it? Okay? And again, notice that it is God's Word that He's talking about here. Okay? How did the creation come about, by the way? Yeah. Yeah, God said. See? So it came about by God's Word, which the psalmist here identifies as being right and true and faithful and filling the earth with His love. How about verses 6 through 9? Let me get somebody read that. Lynette, you want to read earlier? Can you read that?
And all the earth is in the Lord. And all the inhabitants of the
Okay? So here, how is God recognized in this part? And what is the focus? Again, we go back to what? The word of the Lord, right? Okay? The word, by the word of the Lord, as we said a moment ago, everything is created. Okay? And specifically, the psalmist here talks about the breath of his mouth. Okay? Now, just stop and think about this a moment. Does God have a mouth like you and I do and breathe oxygen like you and I do? If he does, then he's not a spiritual being. He would be a physical being. Spiritual beings don't need oxygen. Oxygen is for us-ins down here on earth. Okay? Sure he could. But what we have to look at, though, and understand, again, remember, keep in mind, what we're trying to do is to go back into the mindset, especially of Israelites who wrote these things and who studied these things and learned these things. How did they view these things? How did they see the workings of God, you see, in these things that were written? How did they understand those things? And they would not have understood God as, in this capacity they're talking about, as creator, you see, to be like us in the sense that he was having to breathe oxygen in order to live and so forth. The point being that when it's talking about the breath of God, what is it referring to? The Spirit. You see, it's the Spirit's involvement. And again, what do we see here? What's the topic that he's speaking of here? The creation. Wesley? Okay. Gotcha, didn't I? Well, we're gonna talk about that part in a few minutes, okay? In more detail, this whole, you know, being created in his image kind of a thing. But again, we've got to see this. Part of this is a challenge to our thinking. Again, part of it, we don't, you know, we read over these passages, and how often have you read this and you kind of miss this whole idea of the Spirit? Well, yeah, the word's there, but have you ever really paid that much attention to it and realized the Spirit's involvement in these things? Judy? Y'all been reading my notes. I'm getting ahead of us here. No, but you're right.
You know that when we die, this part returns back to God.
Okay. All right. Yeah, exactly. You know, the God who redeemed Israel, okay, and again, keep in mind, Israelites, as they're looking at these things, and this is, you know, this is what's framing their beliefs and their understanding of God, okay? He is seen as the God of the whole earth. He is the universal creator, the psalmist expresses. He's the God of Genesis, okay, the creation, but he's also the God of Exodus, okay, which is the redemption part. All right, go over to Psalm 104. And I'm going to ask you, we're going to look at a couple of other places in between here too, but we're going to come back to Psalm 104 a couple of times. So if you want to keep your finger in there or put your little, you know, tassel in there to mark it or what have you. But look over at Psalm 104 for a moment, okay? And let me get somebody to read verses 29 and 30. Thank you. And that's part of what Judy was just talking about here. God, when He created us, we're going to see in just a moment, breathed His Spirit into us. And when we die, what happens? But what happened before that? Thank you. The breath is taken away. Don't miss that part. You say, don't miss that part. The breath is taken away. So we see in this, and again, we're going to keep looking at this verse a little bit more, this passage here a little bit more, the psalmist reflecting not only on the creation narratives, but the role of the Spirit and the role of the Word of God in that creation. Okay? Now, once we understand and we look at and we see the role of the Spirit in the creation itself, which is really the beginning of all things, right? Okay? Well, you know, there are a lot of people even today that have this concept that, okay, yeah, I believe that God created the world. I believe in a universal creator and He made everything. But what they look at from that point is that once God created everything and put it all in motion, then God just kind of sat down somewhere and He's not really involved in anything else anymore. Say, there are a lot of folks who believe that. Okay, yeah, they'll accept that there's a universal creator, but you know, He did it, and then He's out of it. Okay, I don't, you know, what He's doing, who knows? But He's kind of out of it, and the world just goes on as God put it all in motion to go on, and it just keeps going on by itself. Why do we, and I'm not suggesting we shouldn't, but why do we as human beings have to take such good care of the earth? Because if we don't, nobody else will. You see, that's part of the concept that a lot of people have. You see, there's nobody out here watching out for the world, so we've got to do it. Kind of thing. Okay? But let's take a look at what the Scriptures really indicate to us at what we will recall the sustaining and renewing. Okay? Let's talk about the Spirit and the earth itself. In other words, what is God's involvement ongoing? After He created everything and set everything in motion, is God and has He been still involved, you know, in sustaining the universe that He created? And what does the Bible really indicate about all of that? The Israelites saw God not only as the Creator, but also as the one who sustains His creation. In fact, they didn't reflect as much on God's involvement in creation as they did about the sustaining work of God in His Spirit, because they just kind of looked at it as, okay, yeah, okay, everybody knows God created the universe. Okay, there's no argument there. And that's done. What we need to focus on is, what is God continuing to do to sustain the universe that He created? And so they put a lot of emphasis and a lot of focus on that aspect. Okay? Okay, the creation is done. Yes, God did it. No argument there. But what's God continuing to do? You see a lot of emphasis on the part of the Israelites. And they marveled at every day that the world continued to go on. In other words, it's the idea that, you know, I go to sleep at night and not knowing what's going to happen, and I get up the next morning and marvel at the fact that God has sustained the universe for another day. That He has kept it going. In other words, they did not assume at all that it was just going to happen by itself. You see? They looked at God as every single day that God was actively involved in sustaining the world that he had created. Let's go back over to Psalm 104, and we're going to go all the way back to verse 10. And let me get somebody to read verses 10, let's say down through 19, and then I want to get somebody else to read verses 20 through 30. I know we just read 29 and 30, but we're going to keep reading some of these things. So who wants to read 10 through 19? Okay, Ray? Okay. Tom, you want to read the rest of that down through 30? Okay, what kind of a picture do we see from what the psalmist is writing here? Yeah, not only did God create these things, but he's continuing to take care of everything, isn't he? You see, he's making the waters flow down the mountains and, you know, fill up the valleys and making the grass grow so the animals can eat it and the plants to grow so man can harvest them. He's continuing, and even the seasons. Making sure that the seasons are continuing to go, and he's even made sure that the sun knows what? When it's supposed to go down. You see? It's interesting to me, you read you watch some of these documentaries on TV, you know, on the History Channel, not necessarily the History, but A&E and some of these others, you know, that, you know, about the animal kingdom and, you know, and of course there's all of this evolution stuff and how, you know, animals have adapted to certain environments and so forth, right? But then go back up here and take a look, verse 18. The high mountains are for what?
Wild goats.
The rocks are refuge for the rock badgers. You can adapt to that stuff. See? God made it that way. See? And not only did He make it that way, He sustains them in that way. See? So that those mountain goats who are able to go up there and live on the side of a rock that, you know, people can barely even climb, and they go up there and live there, it's not because they were able to adapt to that. It's because that's how God created them in the places that He created for them to exist. You see? Right? Right. Absolutely.
But God made it.
God created it.
And you also have talked about what is it?
Loch Ness, right.
Yeah, I thought of that. Mm-hmm. This is probably closer to the Loch Ness Monster than you get. I don't know if anybody ever really seen it.
Well, I haven't seen any definitive proof of it yet. Yeah. You know, they keep showing these grainy pictures. You know. That's right. Absolutely. Well, here's one of the things that we have to understand. Again, go back into the mind of the Israelite, okay? And the Israelites, they held the belief that there was one true God who was the creator of everything, as we've been talking about, but was not only the creator, but is the sustainer of everything that He created. But other civilizations of that time, they had lots of gods for all kinds of things. See, they believed also, they attributed natural processes that occurred, you know, on the earth and so forth, they attributed those to all the different kinds of gods that they worship. If you go back and you look at the plagues that God sent upon the Egyptians, okay, the different plagues that God sent that fell on them really had to do with different areas of life that were supposedly protected by the gods of the Egyptians. See, they had gods for everything. See? And so when God sent the plagues upon them, God sent plagues that had to do with showing that He is the one true God. See? And has power over all of these other gods that people would have. The Canaanites, that's the people that we're very familiar with from Bible study, right? The Canaanites had a tremendous amount of myths, and I'm sure most of you have heard about, you know, different mythologies, this Greek mythology and Roman mythology, and they have all these different gods that do all these different things. Well, the Canaanites had a lot of different myths themselves about the different gods that they had. Okay, and a couple of names that you are probably familiar with. Having to do with the gods. You see, their gods, a lot of them, had to do with, again, the gods and goddesses are sustaining the cycles of the seasons and the earth and the need for rain and sun and all of those things. They have different gods for all those things, and that's how the world just keeps on occurring, you see, as it does. One particular myth told of the great battle between Baal. Okay, it's a name you're familiar with, right? This was a battle between Baal, who is the god of life and fertility, and Moth, who is the god of death. And in this myth, initially, Baal is slain. And that occurs just as the season of growth and fertility comes to an end. But then, with the help of his consort, Asherah, another name that you're probably familiar with, right? He's brought back from the grave to life again, so the seasonal cycle can begin all over again. Okay? We read about in the times of the Israelites, especially in the time of the kings and the divided kingdom and so forth, there were the prophets of Baal, okay, and there were Asherah poles that people erected, you know, in worshiping and so forth. And these were the gods of the Canaanites that had to do with, you know, sustaining the world, say, as it went on from day to day and so forth. But for Israel, there weren't multiple gods, but there was one God, and the spirit of the one true God, Yahweh, to them, sustained all life and everything else on earth. In fact, the Israelites understood and believed that if it not for the life-sustaining spirit of God, okay, then all life itself would cease. Okay? Again, it's not just God, but specifically they recognize the Spirit of God as that which was sustaining all life. Okay? Rick? Right, and a lot of that comes from the idea I was talking about earlier, that the universe, it just kind of sustains itself. And even amongst those who would say, as I said earlier, yeah, God created everything, they'll acknowledge that, but then it's Mother Earth who's taking care of the earth. And, you know what was the butter commercial, you know, you don't, you know, it's not nice to fool Mother Nature, you know, and you feel the wrath of Mother Nature and so forth. But, yeah, that concept is, you know, it's taking care of itself.
You see? That is purposeful to not acknowledge that God is what He said He did.
Yeah.
And so they create something that isn't.
Right.
And say, don't mess with Mother Nature.
Right.
And all these different terms that are wrapped around and associated with Mother Nature. Well, there is no Mother Nature.
Right.
There is God.
Right.
See,
the important thing here that we need to make sure we understand is, again, the difference in the mind of the Israelite, and it should be in our mind also, the difference in the creating of the world and then the sustaining of the world. Okay? It's very important that we understand that concept of the continued sustaining by God and through His Spirit. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. That's continuing to sustain God's world that He created. Because, again, it's very easy, and a lot of people have accepted and acknowledged God as a creator, but they don't see, because it's Mother Nature who's taken over, they do not see and accept the sustaining work of God's Spirit in the world ongoing. You see? But the Old Testament shows that, yes, that was their understanding. You see? And how they saw and understood the work of God and His Spirit continuing in life. Ray and then Steve over here.
I just wanted to say that you know that God is spirit, and you know, the original thing is true and true. But as it says, the Spirit of God, our brother just mentioned, we must remember that God is also the master of the Spirit. There's no question in what He is or who He is.
Right.
You know, because we read about
right.
And why we're confused about a lot of things down here on earth, sex-wise,
You know, I've often said, you know, you got all these, you know, these lesbians and these homosexuals. I said, but the funny thing, the animals don't have a problem with
yeah.
They don't have a problem with who they're going to mix with. And that if you're going to finish the earth, they got to be a female and a male.
Right.
But we just seem to want to do just like the folks did.
Right. Yep.
And I don't mean to get off subject a little bit, but they want to do like Solomon and Gomorrah did.
Right.
And it's just not going to work.
Absolutely.
And God's word is going to never change.
Well, there is no gender identity problem in terms of the true Bible and Word of God, but there are those who have rewritten the Bible.
Oh, yeah.
There are gender-neutral Bibles, you know, available today by those who take all of the gender out of God and so forth. So there are those efforts. Steve?
Something I think that probably sneaks up on us a little bit. With this idea is, you know, you look at the modern political climate, you know, and we hear about global warming, and you can watch shows about asteroids that are going to destroy the Earth, and, you know, Yellowstone's going to blow its top again, and, you know, doesn't. Well, you know, man, you know, let alone natural activity, but, you know, if you wanted to destroy the Earth, how would you go about doing it? We really don't have a way, you know, to do that. And it's not over until he says it's over.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
You know, you can hear all this stuff and talk and look and, you know, it's global cooling, ice ages back in the 70s. Now it's global warming. We're all going to burn up, you know, because we like our air conditioning. Don't believe any of that. You know, this planet, this Earth, life is not over until he says
exactly
it's
right.
Over.
And okay. Job, yeah, Job asserts that. Go over to Job chapter 34. He said, if not for the life-sustaining support of the Spirit of God, then all life would cease. Job 34, verses 14 and 15, where Job says, if it were God's intention and he withdrew his spirit and breath, all mankind would perish together and man would return to the dust. Okay? But again, notice Job's observation. If he withdrew what? Again, it's God that he's talking about. But if God withdrew what? His spirit and his breath. You see? That which sustains life. Okay? So is the spirit active in sustaining the world? Absolutely. If he weren't, you and I would just be heaps of dust. Okay? Just be heaps of dust.
No, it goes a little farther than what Job said. If God would withdraw his spirit and breath, everything would perish.
Yeah.
Everything would be gone. You know?
Because that's what sustains
it. That's exactly what
you see? But again, keep in mind, it's the Spirit of God that is talking about here. Again, Psalm 104, verses 27 through 30, we looked at, you know, a little while ago, shows that God is actively sustaining everything he created on the earth, and that he does that sustenance by his Spirit. Okay? God not only brought all things into existence, but he sustains all things by his Spirit. And there is this ever-present Spirit. Go over to Psalm 139. If ever there was a work that shows us how God is involved, continues to be involved in what goes on in our lives, this is it. Okay? O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all together. You hem me in behind and before me, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Look at verse 7. Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? Is the Spirit involved in sustaining you and your life? He even knows what you're going to say before you say it. Right? He knows where you're going to go. He knows where you are. He knows what you're doing. He knows, you know, you can't hide from God, right? Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? Is there anywhere in this world that a person can go and be outside of the presence of God? Absolutely not. The Israelites understood that. See? David understood that farewell. See? That God's Spirit goes everywhere. If I ascend to the heaven, verse 8, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uppermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as day, for darkness is as light with you. For you formed my inward parts, you knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Everywhere, everything. Okay? And by the way, that's why when we read in the Scriptures that, you know, we will all stand before the judgment seat of God and we will give account for every careless word spoken. You know, and we'd say, nobody was around. You know, who was there? Who saw it? Nope, it's not hurting anybody. What about God? Okay? Because everything we do and everything that goes on in our lives, God is a part of through His Spirit. Okay? The Israelites understood that concept very well. And Jesus affirmed that understanding with the Israelites as he preached to the people of his day. Go over to Matthew chapter 6, okay? And let me get somebody to read verses 25 through 34 for us. Who's got it? Matthew 6, 25 through 34.
Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap, nor gather in the barn, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things, the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble.
Okay. So Jesus is basically reaffirming these very things we're talking about, aren't we? We don't need to worry about the things that we need because God is going to take care of us. He takes care of the grass of the field and the birds of the air. He makes sure that they grow and they have what they need. And so quit worrying about those things. Why? Because God is sustaining not only the earth and all that's in it, but He's sustaining us, His creation. Not only does God and is God sustaining His creation, but the psalmist also affirms for us that God loves all that He made. Turn over to Psalm 145, and we're going to finish up here. We're just about out of time here. When God created everything, we read the Genesis account of creation. Each thing that God created, when He was finished, He looked at it and said that it was good. Okay? The psalmist in Psalm 145, beginning in verse 13, look at what he says. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord is faithful in all His words and kind in all His works. The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to You, and You give them their food in due season. You open Your hand, You satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all His ways and kind in all His works. The Lord is near to all who call on Him and to all who call on Him in truth. He fulfills the desire of those who fear Him. He also hears their cry and saves them. Look at verse 20. The Lord preserves all who love Him, but all the wicked He will destroy. So not only does God through His Spirit sustain all of His creation, and again, we say all because it's not just Israel that He's taking care of and sustaining, it's everything. But He also loves all of His creation, and thereby He takes care of it. Okay? All right, so that's all of this particular section. We're going to look next week, or next time, on the Spirit and humanity, and we're going to get into talking about what some of y'all brought up earlier, this whole idea of being created in God's image and so forth. So that's where we will be going. All right? Thank you all very much.